Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, verses 64 through 67. Genesis chapter 24, verses 64 through 67. The scripture says, "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. And she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Lord, we just ask your blessing upon the word this morning. May we all learn from it and from the words that I speak this morning. Lord, would you send the Holy Spirit to take them and apply them to our lives as he sees fit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm talking about an interesting subject this morning, camels. Not normally your kind of sermon that we preach, but you know, it tells us in the book of Job that we are to look to the fishes of the sea and the beasts of the field, because they can teach us. They can tell us and they can teach us some things. And today we're going to learn about the camel and how we can become like a camel as Christians. Well, this scripture passage, as I read it, may not have made a whole lot of sense to you this morning, but let me give you the context here. Abraham is sending out his servant to find a bride for Isaac, his son. Isaac's mother had recently passed away, and Abraham thought it would be great if his son could have a wife. And so he sends his servant out to find a wife for his son. How would you like that this morning? How would you like your dad to send one of his servants or somebody that he works with, somebody that he trusts, to go find your bride or your husband? That's what he did. And actually, this is one of the most beautiful Old Testament pictures of God sending the Holy Spirit to find a bride for his son, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that's what God has done. He sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is looking for people who will become Christians, who will say, yes, I would like to become a part of the church. I'd like to become a part of the bride of Christ. And that's what happened here. And Abraham's servant begins to bring Rebekah back. And as Rebekah neared where Isaac was, she saw him and lighted off her camel. Someone said this is the first place in the Bible where it mentions smoking. She lit off her camel. No, that's not exactly it. We're talking about a real camel here, a literal, walking, breathing, living camel. The camel is mentioned some 62 times in the Bible. They were mainly a beast of the burden. They were the pickup trucks of the desert. They were like the ships of the desert. And they were a sign of wealth. If you remember, Job owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camel, and other animals as well. Two times the Bible mentions the camel as forbidden meat. You can work camels, but you couldn't eat them. And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 24, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, some think that the eye of a needle was a small gate in the wall that led into the city of Jerusalem, not the main gate, but another gate that was open only after the main gate was closed at night. And if a camel got down on its knees and it was stripped of everything, they could just barely squeeze through that narrow open gate that led into the city. But I believe that the figure of the camel and the eye of the needle means exactly what it says. It says it's difficult, it's hard. It's for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for that to happen. If you recall in the Bible, it speaks of John the Baptist wearing a garment of camel's hair. A hairy mantle was a sign of the prophet in the early days of the New Testament. The camel's hair can be woolly and can be easily pulled away in clumps from the skin of the animal. And then in the New Testament, the camel is mentioned only 6 times, and those mentions are only in the Gospels. But the camel is a desert animal. It can survive longer than any other creature of its kind in the desert. It doesn't require as much moisture as does other animals of its kind. It can survive in a wilderness when other animals would be perishing. No other animal can live and at the same time carry such heavy burdens in such a dry and hot climate that would carry necessary supplies of food and water and go without such things. God created the camel with what it needs to adapt to desert life. And whether you realize it or not, we are living in a wilderness area. We live in this present world system which is ungodly. But God has put adequate spiritual resources within inside of us so that we can adapt to the desert life in which we live. I want you to know today that God has put the resources that are necessary for you to live and even thrive in this world system. And the needs that you face and the dry places and the hot climates and the hot temptations and whatever may come your way, God has put within you the spiritual resources that you need to hold up and to maintain your spiritual health. Now, there are some lessons that we want to learn from the camel today. Number one, the camel is a burden bearer. The camel is a burden bearer. As people in the Old Testament traveled from place to place, they usually took a camel. They had the camel to carry the heavy loads and the supplies that would be necessary to embark on a long journey. Today we carry our loads in pickup trucks, but the patriarchs, they used camels. A normal-sized camel could carry a person on board and an additional 800 pounds above that. The camel itself could weigh up to 1,500 pounds, and if there was no person on the back of a camel, the camel could carry as much as 1,000 pounds on its back. Rebecca did not lead this camel, but she rode on the camel. Her load was to rest upon the camel, and the camel would get her where she needed to go, which was to meet her new bridegroom. How many know that life has its burdens? Life has its share of burdens. It's not all shouting and laughing, is it? It's not always fun and excitement. It's not always that we're living on top of the world. There are times that are sobering. There are times in our life that are serious times where we must face the truth as we walk along in this journey of life. And there are things that are difficult for us to carry along. There are things in our lives that become burdens to us, and we wonder if we are ever going to hold up under the weight. We wonder if we're going to be able to survive, and we wonder if we're going to be able to take it all upon our shoulders and to carry it. Think about how tough it must have been for a desert dweller or a desert traveler to have no camel. That meant that he or she had to carry the entire load by themselves. They had to shoulder it upon their back, and they had to carry it by themselves. What a relief it must have been to be able to put the burden, to put the load upon the back of a camel, because the camel was designed to handle it. You know that 1 Peter 5:7 says that we are to cast all of our care upon Him because He cares for us. What a relief it is for the Christian to know that we don't have to carry it all by ourselves. That we have Jesus Christ who invites us to cast our care, to cast our burden upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. And that word cast is an interesting word. It means to throw upon or to roll over on. And that is what we have to do. That is what we better do with our cares. We need to cast them on Jesus. We need to roll them over upon Him. And we had better give them to Jesus before they get the best of us. Jesus mentioned that mankind will worry about things like what he will eat or what he will drink. He's going to worry about whether he has something to wear or not. He's going to worry about whether the material supply is going to come. And he says, you know what? Christians should not have that kind of mindset, because God rules today. He controls your day, and he also controls your tomorrows. You believe that? God controls your days, and he controls your tomorrows. I heard about a man who, on a dark night, rolled down a steep place. And as he's rolling down, he reaches up and he catches this bush that's growing out of the rocks. And he's holding on to this bush with a sense of despair. His muscles are strained and his grip was good for a while, but you know, you can only hang on for so long. Finally, his endurance level dropped. He was not able to hang on any longer, so in despair, he let go of the bush. Guess how far he fell? About 6 inches. So many people struggle with problems, and they hang on as long as they can, when in reality, we just sometimes need to let go of those things. You know why we can let go? Because underneath us are the everlasting arms of God. And he's going to hold us up, and he's going to catch us, and he's not going to let us fall to our death or to our doom. Underneath you right now are the everlasting, loving arms of God. And I think he's saying to you, you know that care, you know that burden that you're carrying, you know that thing that is causing despair, the thing that you were trying to hang on to with all your might, would you just let go and let me? Let go and let God take care of it, and he'll catch you. He's there for you. Someone has said, worry is like fighting shadows. Engineers on a rail train do not like moonlit nights because they're all the time fighting shadows. There comes a shadow across the track just ahead, and it may look like a man, it might look like a horse, it might look like a tree, it might look like anything, but there isn't really anything there. It's just a shadow. You know, we spend a lot of our energy fighting shadows. You know, it's like driving down the road at night. And once you've seen a deer, everything looks like a deer. Those little reflector things on the side of the road, they're on mailboxes. You got your foot ready to step on the brake at any moment because you're always seeing a deer. And you get there and it's something else. Or you see something up on the road and it's just a shadow. We spend a lot of our time fighting shadows. We hardly get past one trouble until we're looking for another one. Dr. Vance Havner said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. If you could just get in the habit of giving your cares, your worries, your anxieties to God, because he can handle them when you can't. We need a camel. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to carry our burdens, to carry our cares, because he can handle them when we can't. Number two, the camel is equipped for service. The camel is equipped for service. The camel does not pant or perspire hardly at all. You know, you've seen a dog pant. You might see a deer pant as it's run through the woods, but you won't see a camel pant. And you won't see it sweat, perspire. You know, I'm sweating today. We sweat when the outside temperatures rises above the body temperature, the normal body temperature. But a camel has a unique thermostat within its body. It's able to turn up its body temperance level. It can turn it up very high so that it can adapt to the high temperatures and the dry climate in the desert. And as a result, the body's fluids are preserved and water loss is avoided. No other mammal can do this. The camel's body temperature is often lower than air temperature, so they often group together when they rest so that they can avoid excessive heat. Its body temperature increases and decreases with the temperature outside of its body. Well, you try that sometimes. You can't do that. That's why you very seldom would see a camel sweat. Also, the eyes of the camel are equipped for the sandstorms that would blow in the desert. They are protected by a double row of long, curly eyelashes. But these also keep out sand, and it keeps out dust, while the thick, bushy eyebrows shield the eyes from the desert sun. That's kind of like its own built-in sunglasses. A sandstorm would not stop the camel. It would stop a man trying to cross that wilderness. He couldn't handle it. He wouldn't be able to see from the sandstorm. But it doesn't stop the camel. It keeps on its journey. It keeps on moving. The camel has hard skin. It has thick calluses, like bare spots of dry skin that appear on its chest and on the joints when the animal gets to be about 5 months of age. These leathery patches help support the body weight of the camel when it kneels, rises, or rests. The sand would be hard on their outer body were it not for these pads that the camel has. The camel is designed to cover about 25 miles a day at a normal walking speed. Now you might say, "What, Pastor, why are you saying all this about the camel this morning?" Because I'm going to liken the believer to one. I'm going to liken you as a believer to a camel. And just as God has equipped the camel for service, so God has equipped you for service. It's like God equipped the camel for a certain task, God has equipped you for a certain task. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." God has equipped us for the job that he has given us to do. That equipping comes through our relationship with and our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So much as what is done today is done in the energy of the flesh. We don't need the Holy Spirit anymore, we think. But God has given us the Holy Spirit so that we can do our job. We can do what he has called us to do. Like Jesus, we can finish the task that God gives us. And he has given us the Holy Spirit to help us accomplish this. God will equip us for what he means for us to do. God will equip you for what he means for you to do. And mainly that is to glorify his name and to spread his gospel out to those who are in need. And then the camel has an unusual nose. They have an ultra-sensitive nose. Do you know that in the desert, the camel can smell water? If there is any water around, any water to be found, the camel can smell water. How many of you can smell water? You might be able to smell onions, and you might be able to smell garlic, but you can't smell water, or fresh water. You can smell sewer water or dirty water sometimes, but we can't smell fresh water, but the camel can. If there is any fresh water around, he'll be able to find it. I found it interesting that in the Old Testament, a priest was disqualified from service if he broke his nose. The priest had to be able to smell. Today, we need to find out where the water is, spiritually speaking. And we need to run to where the water is. First, we need to spiritually sniff it out, go there, and lead others there for refreshment. We don't need to dig a bunch of new wells, but simply get the cover off and get some of the rubbish out of the old wells and drink of them again. Let's face it, we are in a dry and thirsty world. And we wonder sometimes, where are the wells of refreshment for the people of God? Where are these wells? Where's the time of refreshing for the people of God? And yet God says that times of refreshing will come. And we have to believe him for it. And we have to sniff it out. And we have to find it. And we have to go there and drink. And we have to lead other people there to drink, to get a cool drink of the refreshing things of God. You know, if you don't drink, you dehydrate. And spiritually speaking, too, if you don't drink, if you don't drink of the water of the Word or the rain of his presence, as a Christian, you dehydrate. The camel has a cushioned rim about his roofs. Their feet have broad, flat, leathery pads with two toes on each foot. When the camel puts its foot on the ground, the pads spread, keeping the foot from sinking into the sand. That's how it's able to walk in the sand. If you were to walk across the sand, you in the desert, you'd sink. But the camel, it spreads its hoofs. It's kind of like he's lighter than the sand as he walks across the sand. And you know that when it walks, he moves both feet on one side of the body at the same time. And then he moves both feet on the other side of the body at the same time. It rocks back and forth like a boat. That's how it got its name, the desert, or the ship of the desert. The camel is the ship of the desert. It can walk across sand, but it will not sink. The Christian, you and I, we are to walk above the world. As we walk upon the sifting sands of worldly philosophy, we don't have to sink down into its mire. We don't have to give in to these wrong philosophies or the downward pull of the world. We can walk above them. 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you know him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Listen, you don't have to sink into the ungodliness of this present age in which you now live. You can stay on top of all of that. You can stay on top of that through our Lord Jesus Christ and his marvelous, abundant provisions. All of us can. Fathers can. Mothers can. Children can. Young people can. He has built it within you so that you can walk in this world but not fall prey to the world. One sign that you are saved is that you walk in victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. 1 John 4, 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And then the camel is known for its long, sharp teeth. Actually, it has 34 sharp teeth. If there is not a water source to be seen, that camel that's so keen in finding water, let's say he can't find any water in the desert. If there's none to be found, if there is nothing to eat, the camel can eat into rough, thorny bushes without damaging the lining of its mouth. It can find food when there is no food because of the way God formed its teeth. Jesus said to his disciples in John 4, 32, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." You see, the disciples were trying to get Jesus to eat something physical, take something for his body. He had been on a long journey, and they said, "Jesus, you need to eat. You need to keep your strength up. You need to eat. You must be hungry." And Jesus said to them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." As God's people, we can find something to eat. When others eat and eat of this world's table and are really never satisfied anyway, the Christian can find something to eat and find satisfaction. We can find something to eat in here, something nourishing, something that will sustain us and to help us go on. And we can find food to eat that the world would not understand, would not have to eat of. And then the camel has two humps to equip it for a long, tiring journey. Two humps. It was thought years ago that the camel had water stored in the two humps on the top of their backs. Experts say that that is not true. It does not have water sacs in the humps. It actually has fatty tissue. When food is hard to find, the camel uses its hump fat to make it on a long journey. It uses that hump fat as an extra source of food. And when a camel has been using the humps for a while as a nutrition source, the humps get flabby and they shrink to a smaller size. If the camel gets too much fat from the humps, what is left of one hump will go over to the other hump. But then after a camel has eaten a few days, the hump will go back to its normal size and firm condition. The camel can go 1 week in summer without water. It can travel 2 weeks in winter without water. And the bloodstream of the camel even stores water in it. As I thought about that, I thought, you know, this is really a picture of grace. It's a picture of the twofold grace of God. Grace has brought us where we are today. Where would we be without the grace of God? Where would you be without God's grace this morning? Where would I be without the grace of God? But for the grace of God, we say, there go I. Where would we be without God's grace this morning? I hate to think about it. John Newton wrote in Amazing Grace, "'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." If you are here today and you have not been saved, you need the saving grace of God. You need it. If you are here today and you have been saved, but you are under a load of care, you are under a heavy burden that you cannot carry much longer, you need the sustaining grace of God. And he wants to give it to you this morning. God has grace that is sufficient for every need that we might encounter. And so, as we learned from the camel this morning, we realize the camel is a burden bearer. And we also carry burdens, but Jesus said and invites us to cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. And so we learn, first of all, from the camel that we can cast our burdens upon him because he can carry the load when we can't. And then we learn, secondly, from the camel that just like God has equipped the camel for service, he has equipped you and I for service. He has built within us, and he has given the Holy Spirit those things that we need to be effective for him. So would you cast your care upon him? And then would you be involved in the service of the King? Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? 'Tis grace that brought you safe thus far. And grace will lead you home. Just in case there's somebody here today that you've not asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'm telling you this morning you need the saving grace of God. Would you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, bring salvation to my soul. I can't carry the burden of sin any longer. As you come to the cross of Christ, you will find the burden of sin and the burden of guilt miraculously fall off your back and roll away. Christians here today, you can remember when the burden of sin rolled away. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his saving grace. Is there anybody here? Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to be saved today. Could I see your hand? Okay. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? All right. How many of you here today are carrying a burden? And what you're going to do is, just by raising a hand, you're going to say, Pastor, I have a burden, but I'm placing it at the feet of Jesus. I'm casting my care upon him this morning. Could I see your hand? Amen. 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 Most of you here today, we all carry things. And you need the sustaining grace of God. You'll find it today at the cross of Christ as you come. As you say, Jesus, I'm rolling this burden over to you. I'm throwing it upon you this morning. Father, you see those hands today that as they are giving you their cares. They're laying burdens at your feet this morning. I pray right now, Lord, that they would miraculously feel the load lifted from their shoulders, fall from their back, and they will know that you have come to pick up that burden and to carry it for them. Lord, that you have come with your sustaining grace this morning. Lord, the grace that only you can give. We apply it to each heart and life here today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are still closed, I think one of the reasons why the Lord wants to take the burden is so that you can be in the service of the King, in his service, because he knows we can't work for him when we're burdened down by cares, worries, and anxieties. I used to play basketball. I used to put weights on my feet in practice. It was like a burden. I couldn't jump. But then when it came time to play the game, I'd take them off. And I realized how much better I could jump and how I could do things. And I think that's what the Lord wants to do, is he wants to take the weights off of you, take the burdens off of you, so that you can work more effectively for him. You can be set free this morning from those things. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have another care. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have another burden. But we should live in the habit of giving them to Jesus. And sometimes we have our own burdens that we have to bear. But even in those times, Jesus will make the load lighter and he'll help us. His grace will help us find the way. So don't get rid of your burden today just to be free from it, but then give yourself to Christ and for his service.
I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring. In the service of the King, in the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, so happy. Through the sunshine and the shadow I can sing. In the service of the King, in the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. To his guiding hand forever I will cling. In the service of the King, in the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. I am happy in the service of the King. I am happy, oh so happy. All that I possess to him I gladly bring. In the service of the King, in the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King.